I hope you have your Bibles with you and you open them to Luke chapter 19. You all know this story. You could tell it to most everyone in this room. But I hope in these next few minutes to share with you some things about the tax collector that perhaps you didn't know or you may have heard years ago and you want to go back and you may think, wow, I didn't remember that. Such an incredible story of a man who was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look at Zacchaeus, and I hope God will touch all of our lives, and He's ready to do that, but we must be willing to allow Him to do that this morning. Luke chapter 19, the first 10 verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, but because he was so of short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up in that tree, he saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, and he came down and received the Lord joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained and say, he's going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore them fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, it's been said that there are two certainties of life. And the Bible actually speaks of both of them. The first one is this. Everyone in this room who is breathing at this moment, one day will die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And the second thing that is a given and certainty is that you will pay taxes. Luke chapter 20, and he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. Now, tax collecting in Rome during the first century was an extremely profit-making business for a group of people that the Greek folks called the talones. It's a word that we get and even from the Latin publicani or publican. It's translated in our scripture, the tax collector. The talones were a group of pretty much hated people in the first century. Matter of fact, the people of that day equated these tax collectors with sinners. Tax collectors worked for the Roman government, the nation that had conquered Israel, and therefore they were considered traitors, even though most were Jewish, both to Israel and to God. Consequently, they were despised by the people, they were cut off and shut out by the religionist sinners and the immoral and the unjust people who did not keep the law, that is. Were those people that were harlots, were liars and thieves and murderers and referred to as sinners? Well, the people put the tax collector in that group. They would not only collect the tax according to the Roman law, the tax collector would collect his commission at his cost over and above the regular tax. And the talones, the tax collector, the publican, would get whatever he wanted, no matter what the cost would be. So not only did the people have to pay their farm tax, they paid the commission to the tax collector who collected it at whatever he chose. As a result, these publicans, this talones group, became rich quickly. They used dishonesty. for their own good, and they literally became inordinately wealthy as a result of the money they had taken in from the people. So needless to say, the folks didn't like these telones. Most were Jews. But in the people's eyes, these tax collectors had denied their Jewish heritage, had betrayed their company, and like I say, ostracized, completely shut off from Jewish society, and even excommunicated from the Jewish religion and their privileges. Wow. Folks, now enters a little man who for the first and only time in the Scripture refers to him as a chief tax collector. The chief perhaps meant that he was ahead of a group of tax collectors, or it could have meant that in the midst of all the wealthy tax collectors, Zacchaeus was wealthier than any of them. He had all the pleasures and comforts that money can buy. And then I remember my Sunbeam years at Olive Springs. How many of you here remember Sunbeams? You have to be close to over 30 to remember that. Okay? We were a little group, 4 and 5 years old, and they called us the Sunbeam. Now, folks, I was probably nothing close to a Sunbeam at that age. You know, I probably beamed if it wasn't with sun. I was their little terror at times. But they taught me a little song. And for those of you who don't know it, all the adults in here, over 30, can act a little crazy and weird right now. And that's okay. How many of you remember the song you learned about Zacchaeus? Would you help me? I know you're just dying to sing it. And I want you to sing it too. Let's do it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He drew the motion upon a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house to stay. Now, about 98.9% of you all are smiling. Thank you. You look so much better when you do that. But I remember that little song, but that little song tells us the story of Zacchaeus. But folks, you've got to understand, Zacchaeus, a little short guy who couldn't see over the crowd, was hated amongst that group of people, that crowd on that road in Jericho. The last thing he needed to do was to show up in public. But Zacchaeus was about to come face to face with the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are four things I want you to hear this morning about Zacchaeus. And here's the first one. Write this one down in your outline. Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus. He was desperate to see Jesus. Something supernatural had already been happening in this man, because I've already given you the background of what a tax collector was like. Now he's a chief tax collector, and now he's coming out in public like this amongst a huge crowd because he is wanting to see Jesus. God had been dealing with this little man in such a way that he was fixing to change his life for eternity. Now let me just stop just a minute and say something to all you all. Short is beautiful. I have been short, and I used to be real skinny. I'm a whole lot skinnier than I used to be, but real skinny back in my high school and junior high and elementary school days. And I know what it's like. I can identify with this little guy. But Zacchaeus didn't think he was very beautiful except through his lifestyle and his money. But deep down, I believe this man's heart was breaking. Evidently, for quite some time, though he continued to overcharge, though he continued to take money from others, God was getting his attention and convicting him and breaking this little guy's heart. And that's how God gets our attention. In the midst of our lifestyle, in the midst of going to the store, of driving to the mall, of wherever we are at our house, it may be something you hear on the radio, it may be something on the TV, it may simply be reading the Word of God from a billboard, but some way, somehow, God begins to get your attention in the midst of your daily walk. Zacchaeus had all the money he would ever, ever want. But there was a void, there was an emptiness deep inside his heart that money or power over people would never, ever compensate and take care of for him. He wanted to see Jesus. And he did everything he could possibly do. Going out like he did, as a tax collector, as a chief tax collector, knowing he would be ostracized, knowing the people hated him. But that didn't stop Zacchaeus. He was desperate to see Jesus. So desperate that he did a ridiculous thing. He climbed a tree. Now, we're not told how old Zacchaeus was. But folks, being a chief tax collector is not a get-rich-quick scheme, even though it may sound it. He worked at that for years. He built it up to where perhaps he had people under him, or he built his wealth up and up and up and up. He'd been doing this for a while. Scholars seem to think, and I agree, that Zacchaeus was probably somewhere in his early 40s, 45-ish, moving on up to 50. Got a picture of a sycamore tree I want to show you. This sycamore tree is actually the tree on the Jericho Road. Tradition has it that when you go to that tree, the folks there actually tell you that that's the tree Zacchaeus climbed because it's over 2,000 years old. Now that's tradition. These trees grow tall, up to 50 and 60 feet. They are extremely strong and they live long. But like I say, with a tourist, and they take you there, they will tell you, this is the tree. Again, I don't know of anybody 2,000 years old that perhaps could verify. But the fact is, I want you to see that tree. It could hold any of us, big or small. And I want to say something to you. Have you ever watched some of us short guys climb a tree? It may take us a few minutes, but we eventually get up there, wherever we have to go. Zacchaeus was desperate. He wanted to do whatever it took because he wanted to see Jesus Christ, because he knew that Jesus Christ could change this man's life. He was desperate. There's a second thing I want you to see. Zacchaeus received the invitation of Jesus. Now, I'm not going back and reading all the scripture through there, but I want you to see something with me. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He knew him. But he also said he saw him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. That word saw, S-A-W, is a Greek word we pronounce eido. We write it E-I-D-O. Now, I can see every one of you. And about 98% of you that are sitting in this sanctuary, I know you, and I know you quite intimately. I know who you are. I know your family. I know what's going on in your life. You shared that with me. We can look and see someone, but the word eido means you know the person. You don't just see somebody physically. I look out there and I see Nancy sitting right there. And I see Rod and Peg Jean and these three right here. I can see them physically sitting in that seat. But I know Nancy Webb. I know Peg Jean and Rod Kelly. And I know all three of them, as others in this room, intimately. Eido means you not only see, you know their heart. So when Jesus looked up in that tree, he saw Jesus. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I am so glad as a little boy right here at Olive Springs, Jesus saw me. And he called me by name when he said, Randy, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, Randy, if you will believe and have trust in me and confess me as Lord, I will come into your life and I will forgive your sin and I will transform you eternally. All because Jesus saw me. And he saw Zacchaeus. Folks, God loves you. That's nothing to any of you. You know that. You've heard it over and over and over. And you know, as I was preparing this message, I went back to scriptures of Matthew 10. And that talks about the loving, the power, the intimacy of Jesus. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Therefore, don't you be afraid. You are more valuable than the sparrows. I think of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your care on Him, because He cares for you. And the verse I just quote, for God so loved the world that He gave the only Son He had ever had, His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever would ever believe in Him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Our Lord wanted to have fellowship with Zacchaeus, and He called him out of that tree by name. Folks, now Zacchaeus had a choice. He could have remained up in that tree and kept looking for the Messiah. There were many just like that in that day and time. But folks, Zacchaeus not only wanted to see Jesus, he wanted to be transformed. I believe that little man was crying deep inside his heart. God had been working with him. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus came down with haste. The word with haste, I call good old Southern English, is skedaddle. He got out of that tree, folks. I got to tell you something. When I was a little boy, in our backyard right over here on South Cobb Drive, there was this tall pine tree. It had some great limbs on it, a big full pine tree. I loved to climb trees, and I could get up those trees as a short little guy quicker than you can shake a stick at. But I'd get almost to the top. Well, one day I did that out in my backyard. I got up to one of those top of those old pine trees. One, I guess, is still there, much bigger now than what it was. And I got up in there almost to the very top, where it was safe, mind you. I didn't get up to the stuff where you would fall, but then the safe stuff, I could look down and see the house. I was that high up. However, when I got up there, my right and left leg, the branches bowed kind of like this. And when it did, my foot got stuck in that. The only problem was I could go forward. I couldn't turn around. I had to turn around to climb down. So I then began to call, Dad! Now you got to understand, my father's in the house. I'm in the backyard way up in the top of the tree and no dad. Mom! Absolutely nothing. How am I going to get out of this tree? So finally I said it again, Dad, anybody? And I heard the back screen door of my house. I can still hear the day opening. There come my dad. Now, we dads, we look for our kids when we hear their voices because we think they're right out in front of us. Because Dad was looking around all over the backyard for me. And finally I said, Dad, up here. And my father looked up at that tree and he says, Ran, how did you get up there? I said, I climbed up here. But I'm stuck. Bad. And I remember my dad, and now my brother was in on this, and now my mother heard, because I was in tears at this point, because I couldn't get out of the tree, and my dad and my brother climbed that old pine tree and helped me get me down. My point is this, folks. Had it not been for my mother and my dad and my brother, I may still be grown to that pine tree out there on South Cobb Drive. The point is, you can't get out of a tree. Well, you can. We don't want you to fall out, but you can't get out of the tree as quick as you get up the tree. But the Lord said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Come down with haste now. And you know, all these folks who hated Zacchaeus, they were just watching him. They were seeing what this little man would do. Why is he in a tree? First of all, he has all the money he's ever going to want. Why does he even want to do this? And now the Lord Jesus is going to him. Why don't he come to us? We're the ones in need. He's got all he wants. That's the way we live on this earth. We climb up our tree, folks, and we look out at the world like this. Wow, it's pretty. Ooh, nice apartments. Nice road. Nice people. And then we sit back down. Oh, it's comfortable up here. The weather is so good. I can just relax. Everybody in that crowd on that Jericho road had that attitude. Only one man did something the rest of the people thought was crazy. And God saved. It's time we get out of our comfortable branch of our tree. It's time we get down with haste because the Lord is calling all of us by name and He's saying, Randy, come down. I'm going to your house today. And for many folks, we might have to change some things before we'd ever let Jesus in. Zacchaeus received the invitation of the Lord Jesus because he came down from that tree. He got down and he immediately went with Jesus. But there's a third thing I want you to see this morning. Zacchaeus repented of his sin. Zacchaeus repented of his sin. And then when they all complained, they said he's gone to be with sinners. And then he said, look, Lord, Lord. Twice he called him Lord. His life had been changed. I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything by false accusation, the word if is literally means since I have taken anything from false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold to the people. That was unheard of. A tax collector never gave back. Can you imagine Uncle Sam sending your check back to what you paid in income tax and says, don't worry about it. You don't ever have to pay anymore. It's yours. That's what Jesus did on the cross, folks. He took every penalty we'd ever have to pay, known as death, and He said, that's it. It's defeated. It's done. It is paid in full. You don't have to pay for it again. And people in the 21st century are living up that tree. They're looking for the Messiah. They're looking for their way to heaven. And the Bible says, folks, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Why is it this world cannot see that? Boy, Zacchaeus could. And he repented. What's repentance? It's a change of direction. But it's even more than simply a change of direction. It's an about face. It's going this way in your own life and turning and trusting God only for your salvation and putting your trust in Him as Lord. It never means we will not sin. We are born into sin. We're human. We are who we are. But it's repenting. It's saying, Lord Jesus, that's gone. My past has been obliterated. It's gone forever. You have washed it away. You have cleansed it. It's gone. Now I want to follow you. I'm going to run into walls. I'm going to fall in holes. I'm going to hit about everything there is. But Lord, you just help me because my focus is not going to be this way anymore. My focus is going to be that way to you. That's repentance. And without repentance, there is no salvation. Period. And if there is repentance, there will be evidence in your life that there is a changed person living in you, in particular Jesus. What happened to Zacchaeus, folks? He did something entirely unheard of. He gave it all back four times over. He repented. There was an evidence, an outward evidence. You knew there was something that changed in this man. And all those people knew it. Can people see Jesus in you? Do people know that? I'm not talking about just family. I'm talking about the people you associate with 24/7. Wherever you live, wherever you shop, wherever you go, do people know that you're different? You're not like all the rest. Folks, I don't want to break your bubble or break your heart, but the stats are showing us today that you can't even tell the difference in the 21st century between a born-again child of God and a pagan. We got a problem. I guess we're just still up in our tree. We like to talk a big talk. We like to walk around with this pious attitude of how spiritual we are. And God walks by that tree. He's called us so many, many times, and we stay up there. Oh, it's nice from here. It's comfortable. Cool. Not cold. Everything's just right. I'll just sit here. God forgive you. And God be with you. And God save you. If that is your attitude. The fourth thing and final thing I want to tell you is this. Zacchaeus literally made Jesus the Lord of his life. Now, how do I know that? Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. And Jesus said, today salvation has come. Not will come, may come, it's done. Why? Because he's a son of Abraham. He's a Jew, folks. His father was Abraham. The people knew that. So the Lord says, you are a son of Abraham. You're a Jew. But you're more now than that. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You're not saved because you're a Baptist. You're not saved because you're a Methodist. You're not saved because you're, and I could go all the way down the list. You are saved because you've intentionally asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your life. And you said, Lord, I am a sinner by nature and by choice. I know you took every sin for me on that cross. You died specifically for me, that if I'd have been the only one ever to live, you came and died just for me, like you've done for the countless billions and billions who live now and have ever lived or will ever live if you tarry your coming. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life right now and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for taking my sin death penalty. You died in my place on that cross. And I trust you only for my salvation. When you do that, you set off a party in heaven. I mean a party. I don't know what it's like to hear the angels rejoice yet, but one day I will. Can you imagine? The shepherds had 100 billion of them up there, listening on the fields that night when the birth was announced of Jesus. Can you imagine what it would be like to set off a party in heaven? I can't wait. I can't wait to be in heaven and just listen to when someone is saved on this earth and the angels in heaven rejoice. You talking about music. It's going to be perfect music. Wow. Wow. The Bible says, behold, I stand at your door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I want to say one more thing before I close. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, folks, he comes in your life lock, stock, and barrel, as we call it in the South. He comes into your life totally. Zacchaeus didn't waste any time getting out of the tree. He made the Lord Jesus the Lord of his life, and the Lord Jesus went to his house, and they all had fellowship together. The evidence of Zacchaeus' transformation is powerful. That little man who was hated was now a child in the kingdom of God. His evidence. There was evidence like never, ever before. And folks, when he made Jesus Lord, his life would never be the same. Somehow we've gotten this theology in our churches that you can accept the Lord as Savior down this way. And people have told me this for so many years. And preacher, I'm just coming. I'm just asking. I'm accepting Jesus as Lord right now. 20 years ago, I asked him to come in my life. But now I'm just accepting him as Lord right here. Do you know that's not in the Bible? That's never taught in Scripture. You don't accept the Lord as, you don't accept Jesus as Savior over here, and 40 years later, well, I'll just accept Him as Lord now. When He came in then, He came in lock, stock, and barrel. The problem is you've been sitting in your tree, and you've never made Him Lord. God's people are going to have to come to the point that they get on their face before God and they say, Lord Jesus, You are Lord of my life, and get out of the driver's seat. Quit letting Him be your co-pilot and let Him be the pilot of your life. We're afraid to turn over that kind of authority. We're afraid to give up control. I am, folks. But Zacchaeus didn't waste a minute. When you ask Him to come into your life as a child, as a 50-year-old, as a 60-year-old, as 7, He came in lock, stock, and barrel. And He's crying to you for Him to be the Lord of your life. Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus. Are you? Zacchaeus received the invitation of Jesus. Have you? Or have we gotten too comfortable in our tree and we're simply afraid to let go? Zacchaeus made Jesus Lord of his life. Have you? Or have other gods claimed your allegiance, little g, in this 21st century? God's given us a choice, folks. We can stay in our tree for the rest of our lives, or we can respond to God just as drastically out of the character, like a man who was the chief tax collector, and proclaim today, like never before, Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. Let's pray. Father, You've brought us to a point where we've got to decide. Many in this room, Lord Jesus, are faithful followers of You and are serving You 24/7. But Father, all of us in this room need to appropriate and make You in our life much more Lord than You've ever been, especially in the day and times that we're living. Lord, I pray for everyone in the sound of My voice. I pray for every deacon in this church, that they will be sure that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. I pray for every Sunday school department leader and teacher, that each Sunday before they stand at their class and they teach the Word of God, that they will, as Zacchaeus, know they've come down from that tree and they're following Jesus. I pray for every person in this congregation, every committee member, every person, and Lord Jesus, we're not just stuck up in the tree watching what's happening down below, but You're truly Lord of our life. Lord, I pray for this choir, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, as they lead worship, as they sing, as Doug teaches us over and over and over again about the words that we're singing, about what we're singing, that we amongst all of us on this platform, for George, for Pam, for Ed, for Karen, for Jimmy and I, that all of us know that the responsibility You placed on our hearts this morning to lead worship is a high and holy privilege, but it's the highest responsibility on the Lord's Day that can be given to anyone. And then, Lord Jesus, for me as Your pastor here, Your servant that You called to serve this church, how You judge me more than anyone in this congregation to make sure I preached Your word. Jesus is Lord. Father, may we not leave here this morning till we know that we are committed to be like Zacchaeus, to run down from our comfortable tree and serve You like never before. Thank You for the attentiveness of this congregation. Thank You for the power of the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ that took a hated little short guy, that took money from people over and over and over, and God, You changed him to the point, the evidence, he gave it all back. Help us make a decision for You today. Thy will be done, Lord Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet. this place becomes all over this house our altar again, our altar of prayer. Whatever's on your heart, whatever God would like you and have you to do, that God's been dealing with you, not only just through this service, but before you ever showed up here. Because I can tell you, every pew, every place that you sit in has been committed to God throughout this week in this house. I'm telling you, folks, you ought to come in here sometime when there's nobody here and just walk down these pews. I know where you sit. I know where you sit Sunday after Sunday, and I get a chance to pray for you specifically because I know where you've been and where you're going under God. Wow. God's got this place ready. This is His altar, His place of prayer. Let's sing that little chorus. It goes like this. Lead me, Lord. Will you sing that with me right now? And let's sing, and you come right now. Sing it with me, okay? Lead me, Lord. Ready? Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. I will answer. Sing that again. Lead me, Lord.